Hello and welcome. You're listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. Hello and welcome to episode 73 of Writers Aloud. In this episode, the playwright Diane Samuels shares her writing week with us in an audio diary featuring an underwhelming dash of onstage celebrity and some accidentally surreal Russian theatre.
Monday at just before 7 p.m. So it's Monday evening and my regular writers group is just about to begin a whole new round. I tend to run them in rounds of 6, 7, 8 weeks, depending on how the festivals lie. And I'm looking forward to meeting a group. They'll be arriving in about 1/4 hour. Of a mixture of people who've been coming for many years and people who are just beginning for the first time. A couple of people I've worked with in different contexts, because we meet in my living room on a Monday evening from 7:15 to 9:30. I like to keep the group to a size of probably about 8. 9 is really pushing it. There's room in a slightly smaller group of this size for lots of sharing and intimate connection, which and space really for people to feel able to share some things that they might be tentative or private about. This group is towards the limit of 7. In the group altogether there are 10, and 3 of them can't make it tonight, so I let them kind of come on a basis that works for them. As long as they make a commitment to the nights, they can come. So I'm looking forward to meeting them. I've asked them to bring something to do with trees, so we'll see what they come up with. And I'm kind of adjusting. This is the short amount of time I have because I've just switched off my computer. Just a little time to come out of writing mode. I've been working on a scene from a new play. I'm working on a big play that I've been working on, researching it for a few years, and I started writing it nearly about 9 months ago. I've been doing it on and off around other work as well, and really had an intense period of it at the beginning of this year, then had to break to do something else. And I'm kind of a bit in that headspace, so it's that adjustment from being a writer and in my own very internal world to being a facilitator and holding space for others. So I'm feeling slightly, you know, my tummy is a little bit knotted because I've been rushing too much, because I wolfed down my supper only about 1/2 hour ago as well at the computer. It's not a good example. But I think I'm getting ready, and I tend to be very spontaneous and instinctive. The group isn't about sharing work in progress that people are doing outside the group. It's very much a group about raw creative process. Each session is self-contained in its own way. And people just bring an object and bring themselves, and we see where it goes. There'll be stream of consciousness writing and throwing random words at each other and tuning in, really. Today has also been a day of discussions with my agent and producers getting in touch with me. I've got production going on next year, trying to arrange a meeting with the director. So I've been coming in and out of that writing space, and I really, true to be honest, need to be in a very uninterrupted writing space to finish this play. It's a very delicate point in the story and the drama that I've reached, and I feel a little bit dissatisfied with myself about what I've done today. So resolution today to be much more deep down and in there tomorrow and make even more progress. When I check in tomorrow, I will tell you whether or not I've got anywhere with it, and maybe say how the writing group went. All right, here goes.
Thank you.
Tuesday at 6 o'clock. I'm trying to find out where the Noel Coward Theatre is, because I'm going to go out soon to meet a friend, and we're going to go and see a play called Photograph 51, which stars Nicole Kidman. I managed to get preview tickets. It's the subject matter that interests me. It's a pioneer in genetics. I'm not so bothered about Nicole Kidman. I saw her a number of years ago in the Blue Room at the Domrock, and yeah, she was all right. I don't normally like going to the West End, but I'm quite looking forward to it, weirdly. So today I went for a walk. I woke up quite early, had a great walk, an hour and a half walk on the heath, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and in which I suppose I wrestled with the scene that I'm working on in my play, A Waltz and a Prayer. Writers' group last night was lovely. There were 7 people there, and they really flowed and really opened up, and we really created some pieces of writing, both individually and as a group, together. So that was very heartening, and I kind of carried that through to this morning, and then I think I was still slightly buoyed up by it on my walk. I've made progress with the scene in A Waltz and a Prayer, and it's an interesting exercise in getting down, working from the source material, which are mostly come in the form of a series of letters between Pierce and Cornelia Connolly, a married couple in the 19th century, the strange thing about them being that he was a priest and she was a nun, and they are entering a phase of great conflict in the script at the moment. So there's a lot of struggling with each other. And in fact, it's going to go to trial. So trying to manage all that raw material, typing things up, beginning to get a sense of the shape of the scene. So I'm very much in the guts of it. And I'm still a bit heady with it now as I speak. So going into town, hopefully, will clear my head. And when I get back, I think my eldest son will be here, because he's coming to stay the night. So there's a lot happening. It's been a full day, and tomorrow will be full. I have teaching tomorrow. So off to the theatre, find out where it is first. I think it's on St Martin's Lane, and I will look forward to continuing my report tomorrow evening. It's Wednesday, and it's again just after 6 o'clock. Today has been really full and very, very enjoyable, actually. I feel I like it when I have a productive day. And today has been productive. I got up early. I haven't talked about my regular practice so far. When I get up, I do some stretches and I dance. I like to start the day dancing. Gets me into my body and get flowing and feel fluid and creative and expressive, just in a very basic way, waking myself up. And I often, if I can on a writing day, I go for a long walk on the heath. I also write. I do a writing practice in the morning for 25 minutes without stopping to music. I often use Baroque slow movement music. Today I used Max Richter's take on Vivaldi's Four Seasons, which I really like. Last night's play with Nicole Kidman was fine, it was okay. It felt like, I don't know, not quite a West End show, not quite working, not quite a play as well, because it seemed to me to be kind of a rendition of documentary source material, kind of a bit too obviously. Although the writing was enjoyable, it just didn't quite live. I didn't really know what the story was, and I really didn't know what the heart of the theme of it was, really. I often feel less disappointed at live music and live dance than I do at live theatre, I have to be honest. And being a theatre writer, this puts me in a slightly odd position, because I'm thinking, oh, the art form I work in is one which satisfies me less than others when I go as a punter. So that leaves me with things to think about, and maybe that's why I often work now with composers and put a lot of music into the pieces in production, and work quite in detailed, deep ways with musicians more and more. So this morning I had breakfast with my eldest son. He's well and he's on good form. He's a filmmaker and one of his films has got into a festival. So today was a bit being mother and advisor and consultant. I spent the rest of the morning going through my younger son's dissertation. He's an artist and is currently resident as artist in residence at a gallery in Los Angeles. And he's doing an MA at the Royal College of Art. So he sent me his dissertation, asked me to go through it. And it's fascinating. It's a dissertation all about the relationship between art and reality, roles we play in life, roles that actors play in fictions, and the visual arts equivalent of what's real and what is representational. Really interesting. So I learned a lot from that. Then I had my lunch quickly. I had stewed apple and pear and creme fraiche for lunch. And then I went to the school where I'm right in residence, a primary school. I live in Islington, down the road, been there for over 8 years. And I work with small groups of children developing their writing practice and their authorial voices. I give them all writer's notebooks at the beginning of a term. And so we spent the afternoon delightfully sitting in the garden, exploring the garden, writing in what was mostly sunshine, although it clouded over. And they were great. I've been working with these children for the last few years and now they're in year four. And so I kind of follow their progress as they grow older. It's a lovely thing to do. And then I came back and went through the publisher's contract for my play Turncoat, which next year will be produced at the Palace Theatre Watford. So I deal with my publishing deals myself. I don't do that through an agent. So a very full day, and yeah, good night. It's Thursday evening. It's well after 8 o'clock, later than I've been posting the last few nights, because I was giving a phone tutorial to an MA student on the screen and theatre writing course at Regent's University, where I'm a visiting lecturer. It was a good tutorial. He's hardworking, he's responsive, he's clued in, so I enjoyed it. I was at a scheduling meeting for various workshops at the university that are coming up later this month and next month today. So it's been a day focusing on that work. I also had a meeting this morning with a radio producer I've worked with quite regularly over many years. In fact, I think we first worked together approaching 25 years ago, which is amazing. And we talked about something which has just been coming up in the last week. My play Kinder Transport dealt with the children, the refugee children who came over here from Nazi-occupied Europe, Germany, Austria and Czechoslovakia in the late 30s. And we're talking about its relevance to the refugees currently seeking asylum in this country and other, obviously other parts of Europe, and reviving it possibly for the radio. So that's kind of buzzing away. It's interesting to revisit this play over and over again over the years and see how it lands slightly differently depending on the context of what's going on at a particular time. It feels very present now, that it's not about something that happened in the past, but it's about something that is relevant, very much relevant to now. So that's interesting. I'd be interested to see how all this unravels. And I cycled because the weather was so lovely, which was great to cycle and get a clear head between meetings. And now I'm back and I'm ready to rest and maybe have a bath and completely have some downtime now, because there's a lot been going on today, planning and supporting people. So I'm going to stop now and
say goodnight. And tomorrow I have some teaching in the morning and writing in the afternoon. So I'll be in a different place, I think, when I come back tomorrow evening. Good night.
So it's Friday evening, it's around 6 o'clock, and it's one of those evenings when I have tickets for something and I can't quite remember what it is, because I often get tickets quite a long time in advance of going to see the show. And I got these tickets for a Russian company at the St. James's Theatre in Victoria, and I can't remember what I'm seeing at all. It might be something, a Chekhov short story, but I will find out when I get there, because the tickets are at the box office, so I know I'm going there. So that'll be interesting. We'll see what it is. I'm finding this week's been quite challenging because I'm writing this play and I have a deadline and a reading of it in October, sort of a first reading of the full first draft, to see how it works and also to connect with the school that was founded by the woman whose life story the play is. So I need to get on with it. I kind of want to really get into it. And my teaching commitments this week involving, and also meetings and scheduling meetings and going into primary school 2 half days, which is what the teachers have preferred rather than 1 full day. It's all feeling a bit scattered. So this morning I was at school and then this afternoon I came home and I kind of really focused myself in, and I've been doing some work on the play and I have made a little bit of progress. It's just that juggling thing. I like combining teaching and writing. Getting the balance sometimes proves a little tricky, and I felt that this week. I'm quite looking forward to the weekend. I'm going to be working tomorrow afternoon on another piece, and in my writing practice this morning, some things for that. It's Song of Dina. It's a piece I'm working on with a composer, which is mostly a musical piece with spoken word and lyrics. Some stuff for that came up as well. So I feel like a million things are lying around in my head. I hope this Chekhov helps them to settle rather than making it even more busy. So I'm about to head off in a minute, and I think it's been a productive week. It's certainly been a busy week, and I just would love to float in a swimming pool as I was in August with the sun shining on me as well. Instead of, I don't know. All right, I'll post again tomorrow. Bye. It's Saturday at 2 p.m. ish, and I'm posting a little bit early today because I'm going now to work with Morris, who is composer I'm working with on Song of Dean. I'm going up to his place to work on that. Straight after, I need to go off into town to go and see a play at the So-and-So Arts Club, which is a little venue that's near Bank Station that I gather is a house that Disraeli once lived in, and it's in a room there that I'm going to see a show called American Venus tonight that a young actress I met recently is in. And so it'll all be too much of a rush to do the post later. Last night's Chekhov play was actually this Russian company, and it was in Russian, and we were given these little headsets with the most stumbling translation you have ever heard. It was Monty Python-esque, this translation stumbling over the words, and it proved to be a very strange foil to the drama in which I think it was probably a very distinguished elderly Russian actor was playing Chekhov, and it was renditions of his letters. It was a very strange show. It didn't actually make much sense to me. It was almost absurdly bad at times, where they kept tripping over the scenery. A lot of the audience were Russian, so those of us who couldn't speak Russian were identified by our headsets, and then there were a whole bunch who were just understanding it. And they loved it, and I think the rest of us were just a bit puzzled, because it was really a bit crap, to be honest. And at the end, all the Russians leapt to their feet and gave it a standing ovation, and everyone else just sat there looking rather bemused. It was a real culture difference scenario. Very funny, actually. I came when we were just laughing afterwards. It was absurd. It was like a truly odd, surreal theatre experience, unintentionally so, I think. So anyway, I hope tonight's show is better. And that's the second time this week that I have been in a show. The Photograph 51 with Nicole Kidman was the same. I enjoyed that. It was fine. But it wasn't exceptional by any means. And then there were people leaping to their feet, giving a standing ovation to that. Again, my friend and I just like looked at each other in puzzlement. Why are they so thrilled with it? You know, I guess it's good that people enjoy theatre so much, so I don't mind. But, you know, you kind of know when you're inspired to leap to your feet because you've just so been moved or touched or enjoyed yourself so much. And I wasn't feeling it on either occasion. Yes, The Song of Dina, I've just done my writing practice and explored. We're doing a kind of modern oratorio. So a whole music score with spoken word and song, rendering, exploring, deconstructing, questioning the story in the Bible of the only daughter of the patriarch Jacob. He's the one who had Joseph as his favourite son. And this story is quite a violent story. It involves Dina being raped and her brothers taking retribution on the local tribe whose prince it was who raped her. And yeah, we're just about to the bit, we've not come to the main meat of the story, we're just at the bit where we're focusing on Jacob himself for a while and his reconciliation with his brother Esau, who he tricked out of his birthright. So I'm going to go and see what progress Morris has made on the music. And in my right, I was looking at that moment preceding the meeting with Esau when Jacob fights all night with an angel. And I discovered some interesting things, questions really, about what an angel is and what an angel looks like and why did he want to fight it. So I'm full of questions which will help start to find the scene. Maybe the scene will be one of questions. Morris hopefully has made it to that point in the story. He's just been working on Jacob's dream, more angels and the ladder which precedes it. So looking forward to a musical afternoon and then visiting this theatre in Disraeli's old house this evening. So tomorrow I'll probably post later in the evening. I'm hoping to go to an exhibition. It's Sunday evening at around 7 o'clock. It's been an out and about day, walking down around midday through Regent's Park and down to the Royal Academy of Art to meet a friend. I was with my partner, Paul, and we went to the Cornell exhibition and some themes emerged in the day because as we were walking down, actually we were in Primrose Hill before we made it into the park. And on the pathway written in chalk by the children's playground were the words, "You do not stop playing because you become old. You become old because you stop playing." And we stopped and looked at this and enjoyed it, enjoyed at the moment. And in the Cornell exhibition, there was a real sense of play and wonder. Joseph Cornell lived for much of the 20th century, from the beginning through to the later years of it. And he collected bric-a-brac and bits and pieces and images from junk shops from all over the place and created these shadow boxes of collage, bringing these different materials together to create these fascinating little micro worlds. And this is something that actually I want to read because it resonated with what was written on the path. And this is written in just the material that went with the exhibition, little
couple of pages of A5 that we were given when we went in. And it says this: "For Cornell, the curiosity and freedom of childhood imagination was comparable to the inquiring mind of the scientist. Seeking to keep his own mind open to all possibilities, he thought of his studio as a laboratory. His approach combined manual trial and error with intuition. Integrating the two and three-dimensional in unexpected ways, Cornell's experimental works revel in the mechanics of vision, animation, and motion, and explore the boundaries between fact and fiction through a playful use of narrative." And this really rung for me, and I jotted down in my notebook various images that leapt out at me and spoke. There were swans flying to the moon. There was a soap bubble set, pipes that you blow bubbles out of. In fact, in the park, we saw a man with a huge kind of string of holes on a string. And he had a little child's play pool filled with soap, which had a little duck head. It was like a little duck. And he filled his bubble string of holes and he waved it around in the air. So the bubbles flew everywhere. And then we came to the exhibition and there were these bubble pipes and bubble machine sets, and life and art just constantly kept very, very directly informing each other. And I felt this real sense of affirmation, really, and a reminder to myself, and this is my note for next week, and I know that this is my last post, so I want to leave it at this. My note to next week is to always keep absolutely alive, even more alive each day, to the spirit of play which lies beneath all the work.
That was Diane Samuels. You can find out more about Diane on her website at www.dianesamuels.com. And that concludes episode 73, which was recorded by Diane Samuels and produced by Kona McPhee. Coming up in episode 74, the historical novelist Catherine McMahon speaks with Julia Coppice about her novel The Crimson Rooms and explains how women began to join the legal profession after World War I. We hope you'll join us. You've been listening to Writers Aloud, a podcast brought to you by writers for the Royal Literary Fund in London. To subscribe to podcasts and to find out more about the work of the RLF, please visit our website at www.rlf.org.uk. Thanks for listening.